This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm really pleased now to be on a call with two heavy hitters in the internet world, Naspers Group CEO Bob van Dijk and Alec Oxenford, the co-founder of online marketplace Letgo and also co-founder of the OLX Classifieds platform. Bob, let me start with you. I know some analysts have criticized Naspers over its reliance on its investment in China's Tencent, but I also know that the company is rapidly expanding its investments in other online businesses around the world, everything from food technology to e-commerce to video on demand. And one of those priority areas is online classifieds, which we're going to focus on in today's discussion. I've watched the local newspapers here in Johannesburg, and perhaps as recently as 10 years ago, their print classified sections were huge. Today, they barely exist as people have increasingly gone online to sell and buy goods and services. How big is the online classifieds business for Naspers today, and what is the potential scope for further growth?
Yeah, no, so I would say if I look at the size of the overall opportunity, I would say it's a multiple bigger of what the offline classifieds opportunity used to be, right? And I think Alec can say more about it, but basically people have on average thousands and thousands of dollars worth of worth of used goods in their house that they really don't use anymore. And I think historically it was actually quite hard to sell those products, right? You had to call a newspaper, demand or ask for an advertisement, send them a payment. It was something that only happened for a fraction of the available market. I think what Alec is doing, and he's doing it well, is basically making selling a used good as easy as throwing it away, or even easier than throwing it away. So I think that creates the massive opportunity. And again, I also think you're doing the world a favor by not throwing away things, but rather recycling them. And for us as a business, I think there are analysts out there that value that business now, I think at around somewhere, I actually range between maybe 6-7 to 10 billion, and we think actually the opportunity is larger than that.
We're talking dollars here.
We're talking dollars.
Mm-hmm. So, Bob, you announced last week, I think it was, that Naspers has committed to investing $500 million, that's about 7.3 billion rand at today's exchange rate, into Letgo. It's being done through your subsidiary OLX, which Alec co-founded. How did the Letgo investment come about, and why has Naspers made it?
Yeah, so the story is basically, I would say, partially typical and partially atypical for us as a group. So typical, it was in the sense that when we see a great business model, and we know that classifieds is a great business model, we typically look for, hey, where do we see this opportunity, and where do we see an excellent entrepreneur that is the right person to run with it. So that's typically what we do in any business opportunity. What was atypical about it is actually it was the person who came to us with the proposal was somebody who we already had seen build a very successful business, so we knew him from before. And actually his plan was quite audacious, right? He wanted to launch a mobile only classifieds platform in the largest market in the world, the U.S. But there's a lot of competition. But based on how we've seen him succeed with OLX before and the quality of his plan, we decided that was the right thing to do for us. So that's how we got started.
And you guys have known each other for years, so it was a natural fit.
Absolutely. And I think Alec, if you get to know him, he is an extremely, besides a capable manager and an intelligent guy, exceptionally passionate about building a business. He's great at attracting talent to his team, and I think that he demonstrated once before, and he's doing it again now on a huge scale.
All right. Well, before I get to Alec with some details about Letgo, this announcement was made last week. I don't know how much detail you're disclosing in terms of the size of the investment, but what sort of time horizon do you expect to make this investment back? And can you disclose the valuation this investment puts on Letgo?
No, we cannot disclose that. I'm sorry. What I think is the size of the commitment that we offered is $500 million, and it has everything to do with two things. One is the opportunity, as I think I mentioned, in the U.S. is absolutely enormous, mm-hmm. and that gives us the confidence that the value of the opportunity is a big multiple of that $500 million. I think the other consideration is just the very impressive traction that Alec has had so far. I think he's now already over 100 million downloads in Letgo, which is that's a very rare set of consumer applications that have hit those kind of numbers. So I think demonstrated traction in the largest market gives us the confidence to commit that kind of capital.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Alec, let me bring you in here. How did Letgo get its start, and how does it differ from other online classifieds or online trading platforms?
Yes, thank you very much, Duncan. Well, as Bob said, a few years ago, when my partners and I had already had a very exciting time, it actually continues to be a super exciting time, in OLX, but we had been around there for several years. We thought that the time was right for testing a new incarnation of this great ancient idea, which is classifieds, and to do so by coming up with a mobile-only solution for the U.S. Why mobile-only and why the U.S.? Well, mobile-only because we had learned a lot whilst in OLX, particularly in markets like India and several places in Africa. Mm-hmm. We had seen the power of mobile-only solutions. We had seen the power of apps and also the power of mobile web by understanding the advantages for all kinds of users in multiple emerging markets. Now, we thought that if we could take those lessons from the emerging world into this enormous market, the largest market on the planet, which was the U.S., and apply also not only the lessons, which are very unique because nobody has had more experience building mobile products or classifieds than OLX. If we could build on that, bring that to the U.S. and apply our own secret sauce that we thought was applicable given the competitive context and the consumer habits in the U.S., we thought we could come up with a winning formula. And we wanted to test it. So Jordi Castelló, a Catalan great entrepreneur, and myself decided to join forces and start this new venture. And very quickly after that, Naspers via OLX told us that they would love to partner with us. And we thought it was a fantastic idea because we don't think there are many investors around which are better partners for an entrepreneur than Naspers for many reasons. This is, and I'm not saying this because Bob is on the line. I say it all the time. And I recommend Naspers as an investor to every entrepreneur I talk to because most investors see investment in startups as transactional, as one time. You know, they just invest and expect a return, and you know, there's a cycle and things happen and there's an exit and then it's bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Whereas Naspers has such a long term horizon that they think much more on creating value and changing the world in the good sense of what that means. And when we added up our ambition and experience together with Naspers resources, it just made a lot of sense to launch the U.S. in this kind of all-in app-only play. Now, why the U.S.? Just to give you an example to illustrate the size of the opportunity. Not only are there already many players which validate the size of the opportunity. You have, if you had Craigslist and all the other players in the market, you know, that already makes it the largest online marketplace. But on top of that, you have an immense marketplace to be created, a potential marketplace of all these used goods that are basically stored in self-storage facilities across the U.S.
Yes.
There are more self-storage facilities in the U.S. than there are McDonald's, Subways, and Starbucks stores combined, just to give you an idea. Almost every American family has a self-storage or has had a self-storage place. Now, that provides an immense, there's multiple GDPs of stuff that hasn't been mobilized, that is inefficiently sitting down in storage. We believe that now, with this revolutionary technology, which is the mobile phone, that everybody has it in their pockets, that, that is phenomenally well-designed, that has a UX which is better than anything and more massive than anything us humans have ever invented, super effective. Well, with this technology, if we manage to bring some of that, hopefully a lot of that, turn it mobile, mobilize it, start sharing it, we can have a phenomenal opportunity to create a great business and also do a lot of good, because you know, the only transaction which is actually net positive from a sustainability perspective is an exchange of a used good. Even recycled stuff consumes water, energy, and generates some waste, whereas the only transaction that is net positive in terms of waste, doesn't consume water, doesn't consume energy, doesn't consume any raw materials, is an exchange of an existing used good. And because we have, as I said, multiple GDPs of used goods sitting idly in all these storage facilities, we thought that on top of the other arguments that had to do with our experience, the ambition, the resources, and the commitment of Naspers, the opportunity to do a good at this scale was phenomenally attractive. And, well, the planet's all aligned, and here we are.
Right. Well, as Bob mentioned, Letgo recently surpassed 100 million downloads. There are 400 million listings and 6 billion messages have been sent between its users. And it's a biggest market. Is the U.S., do you have any customers outside the U.S. at this point?
We have some customers outside the U.S., yes, in Turkey and also in a couple of test markets. Okay. We're also always exploring, but our focus has been the U.S. and is the U.S. and is the majority of our activity.
So will the Naspers investment help Letgo expand into more markets around the world? Is that the intention?
It's not the intention. We never discard any possibilities because we believe a lot in operating opportunistically. So things could change. But right now, the plan is to develop further the U.S., which is immense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if this were a marathon, just to get an understandable metaphor, we are in the first kilometer of the marathon, maybe.
I see.
We're just at the very tip of the iceberg, no?
Yeah.
So the focus is the U.S.
Okay. Well, Bob, let me bring you back in here. Naspers obviously has a big stake in Tencent and access to the vast Chinese market. Does that give the group the opportunity eventually to help Letgo expand into China? Is that a long-term priority post-investment for you?
No, I think as Alex said, the priority that he and the team are focusing on is the United States. And I think what we obviously are extremely bullish about the Chinese market, but if you look at sort of secondhand goods in particular, I think given a long history of very high GDP and also a very, let's say, goods focused culture, I think the U.S. dwarfs any other economy in terms of the potential in used goods trade. So I think it's by far the largest market and a worthy focus for the guys.
All right. So Bob, is Naspers post this investment going to be a passive investor in Letgo? Have you installed directors on the company's boards? What's your approach? Hands off or hands on?
You know, I think Alec is probably the better person to ask. I hope he says about the same. I think generally we believe very strongly in letting entrepreneurs run their business. What we bring to the table is capital, and we certainly engage quite significantly on strategy and on sort of where to go next. But it's Alec with his team who runs the business. That's not us. So a very active investor that doesn't go and sit on the chair of the founder and CEO.
Just to give an idea, we had an operations review with the OLX CEO, Martin Skebauer, who's one of the people who knows more about classifieds on the planet, and Bob and other members of Bob's team this week in Amsterdam. Yesterday. And it was, a very surgical review of the operations and the competitive environment of Letgo and the long-term focus of the company. And just to be very specific, as Bob said, I mean, maybe 90% of the decisions we make, you know, we make them independently, and we're probably better suited to do them because we are in the market and, you know, this is what we're doing. But there's a percentage of very relevant decisions which by definition are new to us. And they're not necessarily new to, you know, a team like Bob's team or Martin's team. And so having the privilege of being able to bounce around ideas and get feedback on issues that go from investment levels to strategic focus to even product stuff, from people with the kind of vast experience that this team has is a competitive advantage for us. And we're very happy that we have these reviews and we can actually get tap into that talent. Now, not many companies can do that because not many companies can talk to teams that manage the kind of size of business that Naspers runs and OLX runs globally. So, again, it's opportunistic. I suspect that the level of interaction from our side is, you know, on demand, but fortunately, it works extremely well.
All right.
We're very fortunate to have that.
So I think I already know the answer to this question, but let me ask it anyway. Do Letgo and OLX remain separate brands and separate businesses into the long term, or do you see them? Do you see synergies between them, and do you see them possibly merging under one umbrella at some point?
You know, that's a very long time you're talking about. So it's very hard to have an opinion. You know, we have a joke in Letgo that say that, you know, anything after a year is eternity because things change so much, and it's very hard to answer that question. Now, what I can tell you is that both are great brands. OLX is well known. It has several hundred million users on the planet, and they're passionate users and love the brand. And I can tell you Letgo is also a fantastic brand. It talks directly to the essence of the problem we're trying to solve in the U.S. And as I mentioned before, the essence of the problem in the U.S. is this irrational attachment that many people have to goods. Mm-hmm. They just can't let go of them. And by letting go, we at the same time provide a unique value to buyers and sellers and communities on the planet, and also create value to Letgo as a company. So people think of Letgo as a brand and also as a solution to the problem we're trying to solve spontaneously. And that's very rarely the case. It's very, very rarely that you find a brand that encompasses so much, so clearly, of the problem you're trying to solve. So we're very proud of the brand we have for the U.S.
All right, Alec, let's talk a little bit about the technology behind Letgo, because I believe you are doing some interesting stuff around artificial intelligence and machine learning, etc., to differentiate yourself from some of your competitors. Please tell me a bit about that.
Yes. Well, you know, artificial intelligence is one of those buzzwords that today everybody says they're doing just because it looks like you're not cutting edge unless you mention that. But the truth is very few people are doing it, in a sophisticated way and with real insight. And in order to be able to do that first, you need big data. and this is, you know, it's like that, you know, like the term suggests, it requires size, because artificial intelligence is effective if it operates understanding and predicting vast amounts of data. Now, very few companies have the depth and the breadth of data that LetGo has. With, you know, as we mentioned, 100 million downloads, we have dozens of millions of active users, we have hundreds of millions of postings historically on LetGo, hundreds of millions of transactions. Now, and this happens in all kinds of categories, from electronics to fashion to sports, cars, you name it. Now, when you have hundreds of millions of people buying and selling stuff in such diverse categories, you start to build an enormous database that is phenomenally rich and that can help you if you then develop on top of that the right artificial intelligence tools to be super precise in predicting user behavior, which is the whole point of using artificial intelligence for us. Now, what kinds of things have we done and are we doing that actually we've been pioneers because nobody else has done? For example, we can predict the title of your item when you post on LetGo almost instantaneously. It's perceived as instantaneous because if you have a good connection within the U.S., it's sometimes less than a second in a bad moment with a not such great connection, 2 or 3 seconds. But it's perceived as more or less instantaneous. By just aiming our app at an object, mm-hmm. you'll get a recommendation for a title. And if you are lucky enough to be using one of our more recent functionalities called Reveal, we will also give you an approximate price and time to sell. Now, this is being fine-tuned as we speak, and it probably will be, you know, really, really accurate in a few months from now. But we are already in a trajectory where a user will be able to understand more or less instantaneously the value and likelihood of selling of any item, you know, idle in their home. Now, that's phenomenally valuable because one of the main barriers for people to actually use platforms like LetGo is that they've got no idea of the opportunity that is available for them by buying and selling on LetGo. And that's because people don't understand how much money is sitting idly in their home. So artificial intelligence can help for that. Now, it can also help, for example, in many other ways. And chat is a very relevant part of what we do because usually people, just as in the offline world, before buying and selling, you know, with another individual, you typically exchange information, you chat, you talk, you get to know them. So the breadth and the depth and the quality of that conversation, the engagement that comes from that conversation very often is a driver of a transaction happening or not. Now, with artificial intelligence, there's all kinds of things that can happen that can facilitate that conversation and can make it richer. And again, we, for example, know when a conversation starts, what the other part is probably expecting as an answer to whatever they write. And we can propose and prompt possible answers and then, you know, the whole dialogue, the ping pong between buyer and seller in the chat. You can do that increasingly effectively as you increase the database of all these messages that, as you said, we've had billions of them already in LetGo. Mm-hmm. So we can very, very accurately understand what would be a good suggestion for the buyers and sellers as they chat. That's a second use of AI, not only categorizing, titling, pricing, likelihood of selling, but also chatting. But then basically in every other dimension, any action you take on the site, for example, you are browsing. Well, there's hundreds of millions of items. Which items do we show you? Well, it's a personalized feed. So we try to understand through your historic actions on LetGo what kinds of things are more relevant to you and show you those things. But But that's a very sophisticated thing to do, because if we only show you those things, that becomes boring. People like actually to see some things that they don't necessarily want to buy, but it's just fun for them.
Yeah.
So you have to put that factor in there again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So AI is at the very, very core of what we do.
Fascinating, fascinating. Bob, let me bring you back in here. I mean, sounds like pretty advanced technology. Is there an opportunity to use this potentially in other NASPASH businesses such as OLX?
No, absolutely. I think one of the reasons why we are actually so excited about the LabGo investment is it's not just the financial potential, but definitely how they are really transforming the way machine learning gets used in making the customer just fundamentally better off, making things simpler, making things more intuitive. And what I like about Alec and his team is that they are extremely willing to share. So they have so far on many occasions hosted and shared their latest developments on some of the key technology which is talking about around image recognition, chat optimization, personalized feed. So I just made together with Martin a tour of a number of our businesses in Eastern Europe. And you see that the conversation that Alex started around using machine learning is now very much central to the product roadmaps of the teams in Poland, in Russia, in Ukraine. And that's exactly what we were hoping for. I think the platform that powers most of the classifieds in Africa, I think, has learned tremendously around how to optimize and use machine learning for chats that Alec was talking about. So he's a trailblazer in that sense.
All right. So what is the revenue model, Alec, for LetGo? Do you take a cut from each transaction that happens? How does it work?
Yes. The model right now is mostly based on advertising revenues.
Okay.
And those have basically two main sources. It's value-added services and bump-ups, which is a kind of internal advertising of the items that are posted on LetGo, and advertising from third parties on the app. That's right now the bulk of the revenues. However, we expect, and this is the case in most platforms as they mature, that not in the not-too-distant future, and before you ask, we prefer not to give a specific date, the number one revenue source will be mostly it will be coming from professionals, and these are mostly in the near future car dealers for us in the U.S. This will expand to other verticals and to other revenue sources, which could include, you know, all the usual suspects, payments, mm-hmm. delivery, etc. But all of that we'll comment on whenever we have it live.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very tight pipeline with all kinds of fascinating things. We'll let you know when those come up. Right now, the focus is delivering the best experience for our users and to increase monetization as time goes by. We expect to be profitable in approximately 2 years, but that's not carved in stone. It has. We strongly believe in the logical sequence of developing a business. And we first have to build the infrastructure, then we build the network of buyers and sellers, then we increase engagement, and then once the value is there, we monetize aggressively.
Right.
But we're still not in that phase.
All right. So, but if I understand you correctly, you're going to charge businesses in order to be able to sell on this platform.
Yes. I missed a bit that. But we're going to do what with businesses?
Charge a fee to businesses to be able to sell on this platform, or charge a percentage of every transaction that a business makes on this platform.
We don't expect to have commission fees.
Right.
But we do we do already, and we will continue to offer a differential service to professionals, the professionals who want to buy those services. And you know, professionals in our business are peculiar and differentiate themselves from private users, because they typically have bigger and more let's say, differential needs. For example, if I'm a car dealership in New York or San Francisco or Seattle or anywhere in the U.S., and I have to manage an inventory of a few cars or dozens of cars or hundreds or thousands of cars, there's a wide range of customers. My needs from a platform like Letgo are very different. For example, if I only deal with one car and I'm a private person, I don't need then a tool to manage inventory. But if I have 10,000 cars and I need to understand which one is actually being, being sought after from the users and which are more liquid and which user is commenting on which car, etc., all kinds of sophisticated tools may be useful. Well, those are examples of the kinds of things that we actually charge for and will be charging for as we develop more. Along the same line, for example, if I'm posting hundreds of cars, well, then I might be interested in showing these cars in, you know, more prominently than just randomly as if I'm just a private seller posting one car. And again, you'd pay for that differential special treatment. And there's all kinds of nuances, but in the bottom line is Letgo will continue to be free for those users who want to use it without paying, and it will offer opportunities for a differential service, and we'll charge for it as time goes by. And we will also include other alternative revenue sources, which could include delivery payments, etc., as we develop the technology and we become convinced that the time is right to release those.
Understood. So you've built a solid platform here. Does it have to be used solely as a classifieds type or trading platform, or is there an opportunity to use it to do much more? I mean, could you use this platform, for example, to launch a business that competes with a company like Airbnb?
We prefer not to speculate, but many think that that is the case, that once you have a platform which is liquid and you have a large number of millions of buyers and sellers, you can enter different businesses. Mm-hmm. We prefer to comment on those kinds of projects once we've actually implemented them and launched them. So it's hard to comment on. We're not certainly not thinking of competing against Airbnb in the short term.
Sure.
But is it theoretically possible to enter several lines of businesses which are connected indirectly to Letgo, given the diversity of the verticals in which we operate and the huge number of users we have? Yes, we definitely could potentially expand into new businesses in the future.
Yeah, and maybe if I can chime in here a little bit, there are markets where our classifieds business has become so important in people's lives, we've actually expanded into various other verticals. Again, I agree with Alec. It's not wise to speculate on where we'll get to in the U.S. and when. Mm-hmm. But for example, in Russia, we, for example, do offer short-term accommodation. Works extremely well. So the possibilities for extending the business model are certainly there.
Great. Before I let you go, Bob, do you see opportunities, short-term opportunities, to make further investments or acquisitions in this space around the world?
I think there most certainly are. Also, I think Letgo is an opportunity we got in early, and we believe firmly that we want to keep backing Alec. There's another set of business models that we've gotten very excited about and actually recently invested in, which is around giving people a more convenient way to close a transaction. For example, in the Emirates, we've acquired a company if you want to sell your car, you don't want to have a very engaged process. You can just drive your car up a lot. After that, we basically take the process over for you, and we just give you the cash. Now that's I think a model actually also exists in South Africa, but we've also invested in a company that does that in I think 7 or 8 different countries around the world called the Frontier Car Group. So I think that classifieds model extension to convenient transactions for people is an area where I could see us invest a great deal more over the time to come.
Great. Well, this has been a fascinating discussion. I think we'll leave it there. Alec Oxenford is co-founder of Letgo, and Bob van Dijk is group CEO of NASPAS. Thank you both for chatting to Tech Central today, and I look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.